From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, World War III could be fought in space. Space Wars with guests Michael Komatos and William Scott. I'm looking forward to this one. Plus, we're going to talk with Bill about some UFO cases right before we get into that. Well, a story that has been breaking all around the country. If you have been watching television at all, you are seeing this incredible video. We're seeing it live, not too far from our studios. Griffith Park is burning down, over 300 acres. Now, this is where we have the Los Angeles Zoo and also this beautiful observatory. And they're thinking there may be arson involved here because they have been interviewing a possible arson suspect. Portions of old Los Feliz, they have these old classic Hollywood-type houses out there. They're starting to evacuate people as well. There is no containment in sight on this. So if you've been watching some of the pictures, I mean, it is absolutely incredible. When I was coming into work earlier today, I mean, real early, I looked up and I saw huge billows of smoke going up into the air. And I knew something was wrong. You know, in St. Louis, when you see things like that, it's a tire fire. I kid you not. It's, you know, a pile of tires that are over on the Illinois side that somebody's burning. But, man, this is arson, and it is huge, and they can't contain it. It is one of the biggest ones I've seen in a long, long time. It's closest I've ever been to one of these. Well, this is almost a laughing matter now. U.S. health officials say that fish intended for your consumption fed the meal that was contaminated with the chemical melamine, which is the same stuff they put in this pet food, and it came from China. The officials say that they're not sure the fish have any significant risk to you, but there's a warning anyway. The federal authorities made the discovery as part of this ongoing investigation into the addition of the industrial chemical melamine and related compounds in the pet food. One of the two Chinese firms already under investigation for having shipped the adulterated and mislabeled wheat flour to our country also shipped some of the same product to Canada, and there it was used to make fish meal, and the meal was then shipped from Canada to companies here in the United States for use in fish farms to feed the fish to feed you. Man. Cracker Barrel, the restaurant chain, has pulled hamburgers from hundreds of its restaurants after a patron in South Carolina reported cutting her mouth on a piece of metal embedded in a hamburger patty. Some 313 restaurants were told to remove the burgers produced on and around the same date as those served in the Myrtle Beach, South Carolina area restaurant where the woman was cut. Cracker Barrel has 557 restaurants in 41 states, including 19 in South Carolina. Imported red fire ants have plagued farmers, ranchers, and others for decades. Now the pests are facing a bug of their own. Researchers have pinpointed a naturally occurring virus that kills the ants, which arrive in the United States. They came in the 1930s, and they now cause about $6 billion in damage a year nationwide, including about $1.2 billion alone in Texas. The virus caught the attention of the U.S. Department of Agriculture researchers a few years ago in Florida. Now the agency is seeking commercial partners to develop the virus into a pesticide to control the fire ants. Problem is, it'll probably go out of control and probably kill off everything. The virus was found in about 20% of the fire ant fields. The federal government has charged five Islamic radicals with plotting to kill the U.S. soldiers at Fort Dix in New Jersey. A sixth was charged with aiding and abetting the illegal possession of firearms by three of the others. They've got these guys on audio tape, and they were talking about picking up these assault weapons. They were screaming in Arabic. They had a video. They nailed them, and they nailed them good. About 35,000 U.S. soldiers have been told to prepare for deployment to Iraq in the late 2007. They are going to replace troops already in that fight. The U.S. Senate Commerce Committee has approved a bill that would raise the passenger fleet automotive fuel standard to an average of 35 miles a gallon by 2020. The bill will also mandate a mileage standard for the first time for medium-duty and heavy-duty trucks. Automobile industry is not happy about that. A Romanian man who was awoken by a loud bang found a car had landed in his bed. He's lucky he's alive. Somebody smashed through the wall of his house and destroyed half his bed. That's quite an alarm clock. As you know, over the last couple days, we've been posting the incredible pictures of a strange craft sent to our webmaster, Lex Lonehood, by a fellow by the name of Chad. And, you know, the debate around the country is underway whether this has been some kind of Photoshop work or whether it's the real thing, maybe man-made, maybe extraterrestrial. Who knows? It's weird. Lex Lonehood on the line with us now. Lex, what's the latest with Chad? Because we still don't know where he lives, right?
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, he has not identified his location. He has been emailing back and forth with me, and he is reluctant to come on the air. It seems like he has a lot of fear around the whole issue, and he's been sort of surprised that people have been labeling it a hoax. And he writes, I guess if someone thinks I'm making this up, that is their right. But I really just want to know what it is. So if they do not believe it is real, I guess that doesn't really matter as long as someone out there knows what it is.
Okay, now we've been trying through you to get his phone number so we could do a very brief interview with him, a little beyond what he's given you that you've posted on the coasttocoastam.com website. Why is he a little reluctant to go on the air with us right now?
Well, he wrote to me, it sounded he was concerned about, I guess, his neighbors recognizing his voice and labeling him as some kind of UFO guy, kook. So it sounded to me like that was part of it. And then there was also, he wrote about headaches and possible radiation from the craft. So it seemed like he was fearful that it could be, you know, something where he would be catch some flack for speaking about it.
Okay, Lex, keep us posted, all right?
All right. Thanks, George. And I just posted up on the Coast website some of the reactions that people have been writing in, because we've really gotten quite a bit of response. So if people want to go up to the homepage, they can read what different people have said about the photos.
Well, what's so amazing about technology is people think you're the webmaster, of course, for Coast to Coast, that you're here with me and the rest of the staff. We have no idea where you live, Lex. You're somewhere out there in the universe.
Circling the planet.
Take care, Lex.
Bye, George.
All right. Lex also does a great job after the program doing his recap all the time. And those of you who want to always know what the bumper music is, he posts that right after the recap as well. You know, intuition has often been thought of as a mysterious sixth sense. However, a new research study conducted by the Institute of Heart Math helps to solve some of the mysteries that surround intuition, revealing the role the heart plays, believe it or not, in processing and decoding intuitive information. We're going to find out more about that in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. PhD type doctor Roland McCretty is a director of research at the Heart Math Research Center at the Institute of Heart Math. He is also an adjunct professor at Claremont Graduate University and visiting professor in the Department of Family and Community Medicine at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. A psychophysiologist, Dr. McCretty's research interests include the physiology of emotion with a focus on the mechanisms of which emotions influence cognitive processes, behavior, and health. We're going to talk with him about this incredible work about intuition. Doctor, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, I had an intuitive feeling you were going to be on tonight. Now, this is fascinating because, you know, listening to this program, I don't believe in coincidences. I believe that fate steps in and intuition steps in and all kinds of events. I don't believe it's coincidence or luck. Now, tell me a little bit about your work and what is HeartMath, by the way?
Well, HeartMath is, we're an organization that has obviously studied the role of the heart in human emotionality, and our research has shown that the heart is truly involved in our experience of emotion and, as we'll talk about tonight, intuition. And out of our understandings of the physiology, the hardcore science, we've developed a set of tools and techniques for the average person that mainly help them reduce stress, which is really the unmanaged emotions, you could say, the angers and frustrations, in a very effective way. And that increases our access to our intuition in our day-to-day life, in our decision-making, our relationships, and really helps us get a new sense of inner guidance.
The work into intuition, how did you get into that area?
We got into it through several pathways. The people who were practicing the HeartMath tools, the techniques really primarily for stress management in the early years and in business decisions and these types of things, were all reporting, or not all, but a high ratio that, and a lot of times they didn't know how to talk about it, but they were talking about intuition. Their intuition was increased. The synchronicity in their lives was noticeably increased, just things flowing in a new way. So we decided to see if we could put some rigorous research around that and understand more what was happening and how we were accessing intuition and where and how it's processed in the body and the nervous system, the brain, the heart, and all of the different systems.
You know, all of us have had this feeling when the phone rings that, you know, we know who it is sometimes. And sure enough, you pick up the phone and there that person is. Or you get these feelings, as you pointed out in your work, you know, you take a different route home later to find out that the one you were going to take originally was closed. There was a major accident. Maybe you would have been involved in it had you not gotten that intuitive feeling. Are you sure there isn't something else out there in the universe? I always call it the wireless internet that people somehow tap into, that almost as if it's their third eye that allows them this ability to look into the future and to be intuitive.
Oh, absolutely. I would certainly agree with that.
Okay.
From my perspective, there are four main aspects of intuition. And the one that all the university types and academics talk about is what's called implicit knowledge. And this is the idea that intuition is simply something we've learned in the past and forgotten we've learned, or learned and we didn't know about it, and it's stuck in there in our unconscious and seeps into our conscious, and voila, we have an intuition. Now, that's part of it, but I think that's nonsense to limit it to that. Another aspect would be what I call non-local energetic resonance. And this is where we literally tune into each other's energetic fields. And this is stuff we're able to now measure in the laboratory. For example, we can literally measure one person's heartbeat, another person's brainwaves, you know, when they're actually quite a ways apart from each other. So there's a direct tuning into each other. So that would be another aspect of intuition. Then another aspect is more like what you're talking about, and that's decoding information that exists in, I think, the quantum holographic field, but I don't want to get too complex there, where we can tune and literally create an energetic resonance between ourselves and another person or another event that's going to happen in the future. So it cuts across time and space. So it's really not bound by time and space.
Because when a person dies, you know, I've always been a believer in life after death and that there's something else out there. Mm-hmm. When a person dies, the old heart stops. How does that, in theory, conflict or support my beliefs that there's more after we die?
Well, I think our study, I mean, it's more than just this one study. We're doing quite a bit of research in this area now. I would say it strongly supports the perspective that you're holding. And I think we, in addition to studying intuition, we're providing evidence that we really do have, as part of our undivided self, would be one way of saying it, a spirit level. Or a higher self, whatever language you want to use, you know, whatever you want to call it. And like the poets and the great religions, from as far back in history as we can go, have all equated the heart with wisdom and intuition. And what this research is starting to show is they've probably been right all along, that the heart and brain work in partnership. But the information flows into the heart first. Then the heart sends a signal to the brain, which it then interprets and decodes and becomes conscious. We can become consciously aware of it.
I was going to say, can we add a third ingredient to the mix here? And that is, as you talk about heart, brain, can we also include consciousness?
Well, sure. I mean, the consciousness would be, to me, the higher self spirit part. That is flowing, you know, we're energetically connected with that part of ourselves.
Biologically, if a person is more intuitive than another, does that mean there's something going on in that person's heart or brain more than someone else?
Yes. It can mean several things. Probably yes. And it also, I think in more cases, would mean that we're more attuned to the subtle feelings that we have. And we can certainly teach people how to increase their intuition and their inner guidance. We've known that for years. And a part of that process is learning how to attune to our more subtle feelings, because it is the feeling world that intuition uses to translate the higher dimensional information into our mind-brain consciousness level.
You know how an animal gets on edge? Maybe the adrenaline rushes, and that could be us too, when we're in a situation, whatever it might be. The senses are heightened, things increase. Is that something that stems from the heart-brain or some other spot in the body?
No, I think it's the heart-brain. And that's one of the aspects, like in the animal case, there's the fourth thing I didn't mention that's part of intuition. And this is probably a little bit off the topic for tonight's show, but something we would be a whole show, actually. We're developing what we're calling the global coherence monitoring system, where we're literally measuring the magnetic fields of the Earth. And, for example, we found that when one of our partners were working with, an astrophysicist, that before an earthquake, the Earth field reflects the earthquake up to 2 weeks before it actually happens. And there's very specific changes that occur right before an earthquake or a volcano happens. So we can also be tuned into those very real measurable fields in the Earth's magnetic environment, which we're embedded in. So that would be another part of intuition, tuning in energetic resonance with those fields.
If one has, clogged arteries or a defective heart or they've had heart attacks, would that affect their intuition? Maybe they would have poor intuition?
I don't think so. I think it's more at the energetic level we're talking about here, where the communication goes on. And these are more like the electromagnetic fields between the heart and the brain. One of the things that does block intuition that's pretty clear is plain old stress, which is really made up of those disruptive emotions.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And that really blocks the subtle feelings. We can't tune into those then. So that's where getting what we call into a coherent state is one of the best things that one can do to increase their access to intuition.
Let me mention some emotions. Tell me, how do you think it would affect intuition? Anger.
Well, that's one of the clear ones that's going to block it. Those are all disruptive emotions. And this is very easy to measure in the laboratory. This is one of those places where I wish I could show you a picture when it's worth 1,000 words.
Yeah.
Because it desynchronizes the activity in our nervous system and brain. Anger does, very clearly. And that is just one of the fastest ways to block off our access to our intuition.
Happiness.
That's going to increase it. Any of your positive emotions, especially things like appreciation, care, compassion, those all create an inner harmony. That, again, these are all measurable things that increase that connection between the heart and the brain. So when we're feeling these positive emotions, we are literally getting the heart and brain in sync. And when we do that, that increases that coupling, if you will, or the communication between the heart and the brain and the flow of intuition.
Negativity.
Well, that's, again, all the negative emotions that we're talking about. Anxiety, tension, irritation. We can kind of just put them in two main categories. Those types of emotions that disrupt our nervous system and hormonal balance, and those types of positive emotions that renew us and bring in inner harmony and balance to the nervous system and hormonal system.
In this scientific study, how many people did you have to test?
In this particular study, there were 30 people, and we've done more studies since then. An important part of the study was all of these people went through this rather rigorous protocol twice, once in their normal state, and then once when they had been in what we call heart coherent state, which is a very specific and measurable state for about, I think, 5 or 10 minutes, I don't remember which it was now, prior to the protocol. And being in that coherent state was key to increasing, you could measure the signal that the heart sends to the brain was profoundly increased when they were in that coherent state first. And that's where the HeartMath tools and some of the technology, like what we call the M-Wave, which is a little handheld device that measures your coherence level. So by learning how to practice being in this coherent state, which these subjects did in our study before the protocol, they were able to increase their intuitive abilities.
That's fascinating. Well, stay with us. Your website, heartmath.org. We're going to open up the phone lines if you have a question for Dr. McCretty about this incredible study here. And when we come back, Doctor, is there a relationship between spirituality and intuition? What do you think?
Oh, I think there's absolutely a connection. I really believe that intuition is the flow of information from our spirit level. down right. into the human heart rate
All
system.
Right. We'll talk about that when we come right back. Again, his website, go up to the coasttocoastam.com website. Lex will link it for you, heartmath.org. We'll be back. And we're going to take your phone calls as we talk about intuition this hour, right here on Coast to Coast AM. And we're with Dr. Roland McCretty this hour, whose website is heartmath.org. We were talking about spirituality and intuition, and you too, then, are a believer in this, the relationship.
I certainly am, and if I believe the data that's coming out of our own research, I have to.
And when you tested the 30-some people, did you test them then? You must have, about spirituality.
Not specifically. The fact that the hundreds of people who've gone through this process, even prior to this study, were all reporting a new sense of inner guidance that we can call that's really intuition in their decision making, about their relationships, how to parent, how to take tests, just all sorts of things. And then our study comes in and shows that this effect is not bound by time and space. Now, the way I got this published in peer-reviewed academic journals was to say that intuition appears to transcend the boundaries of time and space, because this, again, our study is showing that the heart and brain react in a way that predicts a future event quite a long time before the event. So it's transcending time and space, which really means that we have to have, I call it an energetic part of ourself. That's the way I got it published in scientific journals. But what I really think we're talking about here is the spirit or higher self, whatever you want to call it.
And you believe that this can be taught also.
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, if you wouldn't mind, I called a few friends that work for HeartMath before when I heard I was going to be on your show tonight, who volunteered to come in and take some phone calls. If we could give out an 800 number, I don't know if that's appropriate.
Please,
or not.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's 800-450-9111. And it's, of course, nighttime here, but they'll be around to take calls for the next couple hours if anybody wants to learn more about how to get into that coherent state I'm talking about.
All right, and we'll have you give that number out again right before you're off with me this hour. Let's take some phone calls. First-time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Dave at Cincinnati.
Hey, David, go ahead.
I was wondering if there was any practice or anything that I could do to increase my intuitive abilities.
Oh, absolutely.
I've noticed that, I've got a friend, his, I guess you call it a special skill. We both drive trucks, and while he's driving down the road, he'll say, "Hey, slow down, there's a cop around the corner." And, you won't hear it on the radio, and we'll come around the corner, and sure enough, there's somebody running the radar, and catching all the speeders. In my case, I think it's more fun. I'm real good at those scratch and win games.
Okay, great.
I've even been into the casino before, and I got a handful of quarters. I'm just going to dump it in just for entertainment. I don't do it for I know I'm not going to make money off of the casino, but I had one machine go, and I turned to look at it. It was a $1 game, and I didn't want to play them because little old ladies are dropping the money in like crazy, and I said forget it. That's too much cash. But the one machine just said give me $1. When I looked at the machine, the thought of $1 just kind of popped into my head. So I pulled $1 out of my pocket, I put it in, it double bar, and gave me $30.
Uh-huh. Right.
And that kind of thing happens to me all the time. Like I said, with the scratch and win, I've got several witnesses. I'll go up to the machines and I'll say, okay, give me $3 on that one because the third one's going to be a winner, and give me $2 on that one because the second one's going to be a winner. And sure enough, the third one's a $5 winner, the second one's a $4 winner. I always win a little bit more than what I spend, as long as, I get the feeling of I should play two of those.
Mm-hmm. Great. Those are good examples. I especially like the first one you gave out about knowing the cop around the corner. That's
sure.
a really
yeah,
good example of the practicality of intuition and how it's always operating. In our lives.
Well, talking about intuition, I was in Vegas once, and I don't play slots much at all, but some little old lady was playing slots and wasn't too successful. She got up and left. I put in whatever I had, a dollar or something, silver dollar, whatever it was, and I won, like $200, and she came by and gave me the dirtiest look. Wasn't my fault. She just didn't have the intuition to stay there.
Right. You know, and that's a common application of intuition that people will think about is going to Vegas or the lottery or, you know, seeing, you know, through the, I call it seeing through a deck of cards, you know, knowing what the numbers are and things. And that is a part of intuition. But there's a really more important and bigger aspect, and that's really that inner guidance I was talking about in our day-to-day decision-making, and knowing what to say in a tough social situation, knowing how to handle our children in those tough times, those types of things, driving defensively like you were talking about. In education, there's lots of applications as well. And so it really becomes a part of our flow in our day-to-day life and just keeps us out of a lot of tough situations we'd be getting into otherwise.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
How you doing? My name is Sergio.
Yes, sir.
I'm from Miami.
Okay, Sergio.
How are you? Good. It's an honor talking to you for the first time.
Thank you.
All right. My question is because sometimes I was told by my grandmother before, you know, that putting your hand on top of your chest when you're sleeping is bad. It gives you nightmares, and it happens to me quite often. You know, I put my hand on my chest, and you know, I get this terrible nightmares just by going to bed and sleeping. Looking up gives me nightmares. So I wonder what that is.
I have no idea.
No studies on that. I've never heard of that one either, Sergio. But you know what? I'm never the one to question grandmother's and mother's intuition.
Absolutely.
And that's another thing, too. You talk about in your research that mothers have this incredible ability to check on their babies. They sense things. How does that happen, doctor?
Well, another part of the research that comes out very clear is that the things that we are emotionally attuned to, that are emotionally relevant and important to us, that's what helps tune us to that person. That's that energetic resonance I'm talking about. The same thing, another common example is a mother will know that maybe their son or daughter got hurt in an accident and they're on the other side of the planet, but they know it right when it happens. And that's because we're emotionally attuned to that person. They're important to us.
Okay, next up, west of the Rockies. Your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello. Is this George?
Yes, sir.
Oh, George, it's an honor to speak with you.
Thank you.
This is Herb. I'm calling from Prescott, Arizona. I wanted to bring up a topic I have had throughout my life, excuse me, a little nervous tonight, alternating states of extreme mental illness with states of intuitive clarity, and I was wondering what the doctor may think about that. I've spent a great deal of time in a facility in Atascadero for various, you know, mental problems, and I was wondering what the doctor thought about this.
Well, it's hard to really answer that without knowing more about the issues you're having. I can tell you that it would be worth your investment to learn about the coherence building techniques. Maybe call that number I gave out and talk to someone there, because these techniques are being used in a lot of mental health clinics for a wide range of things to really help balance out the system and bring more balance in for you there.
Were these 30 people that were part of your study, were any of them on any mind or mood altering prescriptions or drugs or anything like that?
No, not at all. We would screen them, in fact, to make sure they weren't.
Okay, let's go next to our east of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Brian from Omaha KFAB.
Sure, Brian. Hi.
Nice to talk to you. I have a mental illness just like the west of the Rockies caller, schizophrenia. And my question, I don't know how to phrase this properly, but a person who has schizophrenia, the mind and heart intuitive connection, is that on a higher level or a lower level?
Good question.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, is it enhanced, doctor?
Well, I wouldn't put it in terms of higher or lower level. There are certainly, example, that schizophrenia is one of the types of issues that these techniques have been worked with quite successfully to really help distinguish between, call it the mind and the heart, and that's really what a lot of it's learning about, is to distinguish between those two domains. I don't know that I'm really answering your question directly, but I hope it helps you.
Follow up, Brian, at all?
I just know that how well I've been treated with being diagnosed 7 years ago with my illness. I believe that I am intuitive, and I don't believe in coincidences or I believe in that there is luck, George. But the thing is,
or do you make your luck, Brian, with whatever ability?
I think I've heard a lot of in sports that a lot of people that you, there's no such thing as luck. You make your own luck in that. But the thing is. With my illness, I think I'm more in tune with my spirituality. I'm a very spiritual person. I've turned to Christ for my illness, and
seems to work for you.
And it does. It works for me rather well, and kind of like that. And I read a lot of the Bible and that kind of stuff. But the spirituality side of the whole thing with intuition and the heart, and I think a lot of people with schizophrenia they're more sensitive. They're more sensitive people than people who are just quote unquote normal.
Well, and also a lot of people are extremely intuitive, Dr. McCready, but they don't act on this strong intuitive sense. Here's an example. You may think, you know what, I'm not going to get in the car tonight. It's raining. It's not a good day to go out and drive. You get in the car, and sure enough, you get into an accident. Now, your intuitive sense told you don't do it. It was telling you don't do it. There's something that could go wrong. Don't do it. Yet people don't listen to that. In the car they go, they get into the accident. Why don't they react? Why don't they learn from this intuitive sense? It's almost as if whatever it is, it's not strong enough to change your judgment.
Right, and that's part of what I was just addressing about learning to discriminate between the real intuitive feelings and the mind, because there can also be times that we have those feelings and the accident doesn't happen. It just could be a fear or something like that that
sure.
really wasn't intuition. So part of the practice I'm describing about learning how to shift into these coherent states and the tools and the M-Wave technology that helps you do that is really helping you discriminate with practice between the heart prompting, the intuition, which is really your higher self speaking to you, and more the mind ramblings or the mind fears and things. So it takes practice to learn to discriminate between the two, and learning how to really manage the stress in one's life and activate more of the positive feelings, that's opening that conduit to the real intuition, or the heart intuition, as we call it.
Let's go to our wild card line. Good morning. You're on the air with us.
Hi, Andy in Columbia, South Carolina.
Yes, sir.
Well, North Carolina, thinking it's very similar to what's already been stated, and might be the same thing, just under a different name. I call it conscious energy allocation, or CEA. And what got me thinking about it, I heard a master banjo player, longtime member of the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, Tennessee, and a member of the Traveling Wilburys, say one time during an interview very candidly, he said, you know, a lot of times I give a much better performance when I don't try so hard.
I believe
and
that.
What,
yeah.
Here's what I think is going on there. I think every task is a mixture of blue collar and white collar. The most brute physical job has a mental / spiritual aspect, a white collar, you know, when to do it, how to do it well. And the most brilliant, you know, white collar job has the physical side. You've got to either speak it or write it, or you sign language, you know, other than, you know, mental telepathy. And what you do is, I think people can consciously allocate their corporal energy between the mental / spiritual faculties and the musculoskeletal. And I think when you do that, you're just right for the task before you. That's when it's optimum. You know, you do the best possible job at it.
I've always believed this, that when you are just comfortable, where you're really not thinking hard, and if you're trained well for whatever you do, doctor, it just happens. The flow just happens.
That's true. And we can also learn how to increase the ratio of it happening. There's no question of that. Your comments about energy allocation are really right on, and there's a whole other series of our research studies that very strongly supports exactly what you're seeing. In fact, what we teach in our programs now is that, again, it's going to get back to stress and emotions that we choose to run through our system, and we really have choice about this. You can think of it as your emotional diet, and there are certain types of emotions that deplete our system energetically, right down to the biochemical level, and other types that renew our energy. And part of the process is learning that we wake up, you can think of it as waking up in the morning with a full cup of water, you know, our energy, and how we choose to think and feel during the day, how we react to the events that go on in our life, either are going to deplete that energy, drain the water, or add to it and renew our energy. And that's really what learning to stay in this coherent state is all about, is shifting the ratio from depleting our energy to renewing it. And intuition is a big part of that. Because as we access our intuition, which again is the flow of information from our spirit, higher self level, it does lots of things. Other work shows that it's also increasing our hormonal balance, improving that. It's like you can think of it as oiling the nervous system. The signals flow through our nervous system more coherently, and that's part of that link to intuition. And then that brings in more ability to self-regulate our emotional diet.
So can you answer the age-old question? Who's more intuitive, a man or a woman?
That's a hard one. I think to really answer, certainly women are more naturally tuned that way, mm-hmm. primarily because they're more used to paying attention to their subtle feelings. They don't deny them as much, and they're more attuned. But at the same time, men can be very intuitive, and there are many famous examples of that. So for men, it's more of a challenge to really go to the heart and pay attention to those subtle feelings, where women, it's more natural. But I don't think it's necessarily because women are wired differently than men in this context.
Okay, time for one more quick one. First-time caller line. Go ahead, please.
Hello, George?
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hey, it's Harley from Fort Myers, Florida.
Hey, Harley. Only got about a minute, but go for it. It's all yours.
Okay, a quick one. I attended a conference on chaos theory in Boca Raton a few years ago, and they had a study there where they stimulated a rat neuron with a chaotic signal. And to your eye, this is totally random. There's no pattern whatsoever, but the neuron responded to the signal, where if you signaled it, if you stimulated it with a truly random signal, it wouldn't respond. Just as if you had stimulated with a perfectly regular signal, it wouldn't respond after a while. But I thought that was a kind of intuition. I wonder what you thought about that.
Okay, go ahead. 30 seconds.
Well, you're onto something there, and I can, let me give you kind of an abstract answer. There are about 40,000 of a particular kind of neuron in the heart that feeds into what we call the heart brain that are clearly sensitive to these, what you could think of as chaotic or stochastic resonance neurons, which is, we believe, part of the mechanism of how the energetic fields are communicating with the heart. It's sort of a complex answer, but I hope it helps.
Doctor, let's get that toll-free number out one more time, would you please?
I certainly would. It's 800-450-9111. And there's also another website I'll give you, other in addition to the www.heartmath.org, and that's heartmath.org. And that's where people can download the research papers we've been talking about for free. Just go to research papers
Sure. There.
And there's also another one if you want to learn more about the technology to help you build coherence and increase your intuition. And that's www.mywave.org.
Great, and I'll have Lex put your phone number up under your name at coasttocoastam.com. Thank you so much, Doctor. I love this. Intuition. I've always felt I was intuitive. I just don't always act on it. That's what I got to train myself to do. Up next, well, the next war, World War III, will it be done in space? We're going to talk a little bit about what is this triangular-shaped object that people are seeing, too. I'm going to grab William Scott because he might know something about this.